Continuing in Master Year 2018 in the spirit of oneness with all, today's special guest, Wild Horse Advocate Teresa Thyssen, talks about an issue close to her heart and important to Colorado and other states where wild horses are endangered. She'll discuss the history of these wild horses, what their habitat conditions are like in Colorado, and the lies around their conditions. She'll talk about welfare ranchers and their influence on the wide open lands of Colorado, as well as recent legislation affecting these amazing creatures. We are live today, and listeners are invited to call in. So now, sit back, relax, and enter into the Miracle Zone. At the end, heading into the next stage, it feels like you can't make it. It feels like all hell is breaking out against you. It feels that way because you're almost there. The birth canal is the narrowest just before delivery. It's the darkest and the coldest just before dawn. Hello, I'm Pamela Chapman. Welcome to Miracle Zone, making it reality against circumstance, logic, and economics. Appropriate for today when it often seems like a changing, chaotic, and very crazy world keeps us in difficult transition. Today is Tuesday, March 27th, and we're coming to you live from my place of miracle, the beautiful Rockies in beautiful, spring-like Colorado. We have shifted once again. Thank you for allowing us to have some time out of your incredibly busy schedule to help guide you into your very own dream come true. I'll facilitate your journey into whatever you care to manifest for this time. So, whether you are transitioning through a job loss, career change, mate change, empty nest syndrome, retirement, loss of a loved one, life transition, or plain old limbo, we are here to help make the transition as easy and painless as possible. Today we are live with special guest, Wild Horse Advocate Teresa Thyssen. Guests are invited to phone in with comments or questions. Phone in to 424-675-8318. Again, phone in to 424-675-8318. But before we bring Teresa on, let's first do our spiritual exercises. The Miracle Zone is a spiritual podcast, and so we always kick it off with our spiritual grounding, protection, and our angel cards. So let's begin with our grounding. Remember, we only do this exercise in a safe space. So if you're driving or operating any type of machinery, this exercise is not suggested. Okay. So let's begin by closing our eyes. And then we're going to take some deep breaths. Breathe in, allowing your stomach to expand and your lungs to expand. And then we're going to breathe out slowly. Let's do that one more time. We're going to take a deep breath in, breathing in love, Holy Spirit, gratitude, and peace. And we're going to breathe out everything that's toxic, negativity, tiredness, anxiety, turmoil. Let's take a nice deep breath once again. Inhale. And let's exhale love throughout our neighborhoods, our communities, in our town, in our land. Now, if your eyes are not closed, please close your eyes with me. And we're going to imagine, that we have a root coming from our tailbone. And that root is going to push downward. If you're seated, it's coming from the tailbone, or if you're standing, or if you're seated, you can see the roots coming from the bottom of your feet, your zero chakra or your first chakra. And see that root, just like you would see a tree root, see it pushing down through whatever you're seated on, whatever you're standing on, the ground, I hope, and just see that pushing through that ground. Okay, through that floor, through the ground, and see it going all the way down, breaking through all that concrete, breaking through the dirt, ever that earth is made of. You're pushing through wherever you are, and you're just going down, 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 nothing to be afraid of. We're not descending into hell. We're just getting grounded this morning. We need to ground every morning. So see it now passing through the magma, the lava. You may begin to imagine just seeing the redness, like a red fire. Begin to feel the heat. And we are searching for that core in the earth. And as we begin to see it and feel it, we allow our root to wrap around that core nice and tight. I always imagine it as a solid ball in the center of the earth, even though we know that's not what it looks like, but that's what I imagine it. You can imagine it as a bar. You're going to wrap your root around that as tight as possible, nice and tight. And no matter what comes along today, you may sway, you may wobble, but you won't fall down. People wobble, but you won't fall down. They always say that, right? Like that palm tree in California, in Hawaii. They sway back and forth in a storm, but they never topple over because their roots are deep. Now begin to see that root coming up. It's wrapped this way around the core. Now begin to see it come up as a bright white light. Just see it coming up north to you, towards you, coming up through the magma in the lava, coming up through the concrete earth, coming up through the floor of your home or your office building, wherever you may be, just coming up now where you're seated or standing, and it is now coming up through the zero chakra, continue to come up, the first chakra, our root chakra, then the second chakra, our sacral plane, up through the solar plexus, our stomachs. Continue to see it coming up, 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 that white light into the center of our chest. Opening our hearts to love, continue to see that white light coming up to our throats so that we are able to speak our voice, our truth. That light continues to come up to the third eye between the eyebrows so that we can see the truth, so that we can become intuitive and aware. And then that light comes up to the crown of our head, to our glory. See that light there. Know that you are grounded in that light all day today. Now we're going to do a quick protection exercise. With your eyes still closed, I want you to imagine that there is a coat of armor before you. I always see mine as a knight's armor. I always see mine as a silver armor. You can see yours in whatever color you choose, however you choose. It could be leather, whatever you choose. Just make sure that that armor is impenetrable. And we're going to imagine that it's facing us and we are facing it. And with our right foot, we quickly step in. Our left foot follows. See that armor begin to come up over our bodies, our knees, our thighs. It's up to our waist. Continue up over our stomachs, over our chest. And now that armor is up to our shoulders, the bottom of our neck. See that armor begin to go down to your elbows, to your wrist, and your hands. I imagine a mesh glove on my hands. The only thing exposed now is my neck and my head. And so now imagine with me that you have your helmet. And I always call my helmet the helmet of salvation. You can call yours whatever you desire. I see my helmet and picture with me your helmet. And it's sitting on a mahogany shelf or whatever type of shelf you choose to see today. Mine is mahogany and it's polished so beautiful, dust free. And then I see myself reaching out, and I take my armor, my head armor, in both hands, and I place that armor gingerly upon my head, and then it also covers my neck. There is a mesh piece that covers my neck so I can easily turn my head. The only thing exposed is my nose, my mouth, and my eyes. My eyes so that I can see clearly, along with my third eye. My nose is so that I can sniff out the truth. And then I always say to smell the beautiful fragrances that God gives us each and every day surrounding us. And then my mouth, to speak the truth, only to those who care to hear the truth. I was reminded just a few days ago never to cast our pearls before swine. That means never waste your words and your energy on those who do not care to know. Okay. Quickly, I'll share our angel messages. I always go before Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, before our show, and I invite the angels in, my angel team. They have all been invited in, Archangel Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, Sandolphin, Metatron, have all been invited in today, and because we are talking with our animals today, we're talking about our animals today, who are we going to invite in for our animals today? Azrael? Ariel. Ariel comes in for our animals today. So our angel cards today are nurture. And this is from Archangel Gabriel. And briefly it says, as you nurture a child, you nurture your own inner child. Both activities are important for you right now. Now, I'm going to take that because we are talking about animals today, and they are childlike beings, right? They're pretty helpless. Clear your space is our second card, and this is with Archangel Raphael. Get rid of clutter, clear the energy around you, and use feng shui. Our third card today is victory with Archangel Sandolphin. Your prayers have been heard and answered. Have faith. Now, all of these cards have an additional meaning, And they are beautiful cards today. To get the full meaning, you just need to go to my website, yucatanwellness.com. That's yucatanwellness.com. Scroll to the bottom of the page on the right-hand side. You'll see the angel messages, and they're all yours for free. Again, yucatanwellness.com. All righty, without further ado, I am bringing on a very special guest today, Teresa Thyssen, Wild Horse Advocate. She is a friend, a very good friend, as well as my neighbor. There's only four of us on this corner, and she's one. And so, without further ado, help me welcome Teresa Thyssen. Welcome, Teresa, or Terry to me. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Pamela. I'm doing fine. I'm glad it's a sunny day, and I lit my candles so I could relax. Just a little nervous because I've never done this before, but hopefully everything will flow.
It'll flow just fine. It is what it is, and we just go with the flow. So we appreciate you taking the time. I know you're very busy today, and you took the time to come and bring this message. I've been blessed to go with you to where these wild animals live, and, you know, you've shared some information with me, and I thought it important to share that with our listeners today. So first, Terry, start by telling the listeners a little bit about you. Who is Teresa Thyssen?
Well, I'm a 66-year-old woman, and I have two businesses that I do. One is the Plant Lady Inc. that I've done since 1972 in the Vail Valley, watering and maintaining interior plants. And another business that I kind of took over when my son was tragically passed in a fatal truck accident, happened in 2011. I became a logger, a wood lady. So I'm a plant lady and a wood lady. So I'm really, really an earth mama now that I have plants and wood. And
yeah. I never thought of that before, Terry, but you are Earth Mama, huh?
Yep, I'm an Earth Mama, through and through. So anyway, that's kind of where with the loss of my son, I had a huge void to fill, and I was looking to turn a negative into a positive. And what happened one day was I was on a page looking at photographs of wild horses, and it was having to be a neighbor. So I got a hold of her to find out where she got these pictures, which took me to Sandwash Basin, Colorado.
Yes, Sandwash Basin, Colorado. And that's where your journey began with these amazing
beings.
Okay.
Yeah.
So give us a little bit of history. Can you do that for us this morning? Tell us about these guys. Because, like, I've been there with you, and, you know, I shared on Facebook, you know, how I was looking down at my phone, and I was trying to try out this new lens that I got for the phone, right? So my head's down, and I'm so involved in what I was doing, as I walked behind your truck, I almost walked smack dab into a colt who was, they're just amazing, beautiful animals. They're not afraid of beings, not afraid of us, and they're amazing. So give us a little bit of history, please, on these particular horses in Sandwash Basin.
Well, I don't know how long they have been out there, but history does say they are native if you do the research. And I like to believe that fact. There are many myths out there that try to change that wording, but if you do the research, you can find out that they're very believable to be a native species. And but what really got me was the first time I was out there watching the behavior of the stallions and the mares, and learning who is the boss. And the stallion will sometimes be the last horse in the band to follow the mare, who usually is called the lead mare, and they take the band here and there. And then you'll come upon a group of bachelors, and they're younger horses, usually two from they usually leave the band about two. Some stay with the bands till the age of four, and then they kind of gather in bachelor groups that run along until they become developed enough to take on a mature stallion and steal one of his younger mares. Then sometimes they will come to blows, which is a ferocious fight. Occasionally you'll see that, not always. Many times you'll see something happen at a water hole on a hot day when they all come down to drink. And that's one of the most exciting times that you can see. Besides that, then there's the time when you come upon the mare who's just had a foal. That happened one day when I was out with, I took my nieces out for the first time looking for a mare that was about to foal. And we must have found her within an hour from the birth, because we walked past the birth pile and it was still warm. And pretty soon we saw them through the binoculars. Didn't get too close, but close enough to take some pictures in a long-range camera, and watch the nurturing moment with a new mother and her foal. And it's just amazing how they first stand up, and just to watch that, the first hour of a new foal's life is so incredible. And then if you are one of the first persons to come upon that, and you can suggest a name to the BLM or the Sandwash Advocates, and they're connected to the BLM, and you take a picture and suggest a name, and they usually record the name and give the foal a number so that they're recorded with the federal Land Bureau of Land Management.
Right.
So if you have that experience.
Before you go on, let the audience know what BLM stands for, because not everyone is familiar with that term, that's who's listening.
Okay.
So you're
BLM is the Bureau of Land Management. It's a federal organization that is supposed to take watch over the public lands and manage the range. They are the ones that tell ranchers whether they can have their grazing permits renewed, and they are supposed to keep a watch on the herd development of the wild horses and all the other wildlife that's out there. There's quite a few live animals out on the range. I mean, it goes from coyotes to rabbits to burrowing owls. There's mountain lions.
Right.
Sometimes bears, all kinds of wildlife that all consider in this whole range management.
And deer and elk as well.
Deer and elk as well. And antelope.
Yeah.
And antelope.
Yeah. And
bobcats.
Bobcats, yeah.
Gophers.
There's a beautiful.
Badgers.
Yeah. Yeah. We're so lucky to be up here with all of that. You know, we have a lot of people who listen in from the cities, and they may not have understood what that was. I just wanted to say also on the show page, Terry, you shared an amazing picture with those two bachelors that were actually fighting it out.
Yes, they were two bachelors. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, Jiggy and Morgan. Jiggy had just acquired his first band, and Morgan was trying to take his mares. And that was one of the I didn't see this, but another photographer documented it. Very lucky to see that intensity sometimes it's not quite as vicious as another one. You never know. But this one was quite intense from the picture.
Yeah. It's just amazing, that whole natural organization of things. You know, when I was there, one of the things that was really amazing to me, like you're saying, you know, the mare will leave and the stallion will come up. You know, he will follow in the back to make sure that his, you call him a herd, his group, I guess, is safe.
Band. A band.
His band is safe. Mm-hmm. And the whole hierarchy that goes on in nature, it is just amazing to watch that. And I'm just so grateful that I was able to join you a couple of times now in that environment. Tell us a little bit about the habitat where these creatures live.
Well, there's quite a few water holes in Sandwash Basin, and it's a semi-arid desert with many different shrubs that the horses eat out there. The Sandwash Basin is very lucky to have quite a few different grasses and bushes that these horses thrive on. I mean, sometimes you look at a Basset stallion and you don't know, and because you look at how fat he is, you think he's a pregnant mare, but once you go a little further, you see that he is a bachelor, and he's not pregnant. He just has a lot of good food to eat, and they're not starving at all, which in many cases, the public is being told that they are, where they really are not.
That's where we come to a few problems. They are very healthy out there. It's such a vast area. Do you know approximately how many acres they're on? Just an approximate, a guess?
Yeah, there's approximately 163,000 acres. It covers 250 square miles of open range there. And the elevation ranges from about 5,800 feet to 11,125 feet, and it receives about 7 to 12 inches of annual precipitation, and that's considered typical for a high mountain desert. The summers are warm and the winters are very cold, and it's not unusual to have temperatures in the minus 20 to 30 for a long period of time. And sometimes in the spring, you'll see that some of the ear tips have been frozen on different foals or even bachelors or stallions or mares. There's a couple out there that lost their ear tips from a really cold winter. So
the reason why I'm asking you to describe the habitat, and you talked a little bit about the condition of the horses, and then when I was out there with you, I noticed that those horses are extremely healthy, and you touched a little bit around where we want to take this conversation, because this is what our show is about today. It's about helping save the wild horses in Colorado and any place else where there's wild horses. So you had started to talk a little bit about the lies that are being told to the public, and not only the public, but to our representatives in Congress. Do you want to go ahead now and take the time and expand on some of that, please?
Yeah. You find that the whole political power of and the ranchers are tied into political ties, because the BLM is a federal government program, and the ranchers, many ranchers, own the land and they put their cows on them. But the public lands, they have grazing permits where 3% of the ranchers that want to have cattle can put them out on public lands for a small fee, which is $1.67 per head per cow and calf per month, which is really, really cheap grazing.
Okay. So I want you to stop there. Stop just a second. So make sure everyone understands what you're saying. So these ranchers pay to put their cattle on public land, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. And it costs how much a head to do this?
$1.67 a head for a cow and a calf pair per
month.
For a pair. For a pair.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. I just wanted to make sure that everyone understood that. Okay.
Yeah. Now, there's different sections out there where the wild horses were given land in an act passed by Congress in 1971 to protect the wild horses, and they were given herd management areas, and they have to share it with cattle. And now the numbers that you see, this is an estimate, there's usually 50 cows to every horse in some of these herd management areas, and they complain, the ranchers complain about the range being degraded. Well, if you look at the numbers, 50 cows to one horse, who do you think is doing the degrading? It would be the cattle, not the horse.
The cattle. Yes.
So, I mean, that's common sense. But the greed of these 3% of these ranchers that use the public lands are, I mean, we really don't need them out there, but they're out there because they want to make some money, and they are publicly subsidized through our public taxes. Taxpayer dollars pay for a lot of the things that they get for free.
And what are those things when you say we subsidize that, the taxpayer? What are we subsidizing?
Well, they get a lot of the money, like this money that they pay, the fee that they pay, goes to range management. It goes for building fences that stop the grazing patterns of the horses. It kind of contains the cattle, but it also contains the horses so they aren't free to move along the range.
Right. Mm-hmm. So fences them in as well as the cattle.
And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of course. Okay. Mhm. And so we pay for that with our taxpayer dollar to help them with their cattle.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Different projects that they might do for fence repair or I'm not real up to date on exactly what the subsidies are because I'm not a rancher.
Okay.
So I'm not real good on this answer, but I do know that domestic livestock production on public lands is one of the single most destructive uses of public lands.
Okay.
I mean, when you look at the numbers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
50 to 1 cows to horse.
Cows to
or
horse.
Or sheep.
And
in Sandwash
so
Basin,
they,
it's the sheep.
Mm-hmm. It's sheep. Okay. So what they're wanting, these ranchers are wanting to do what with the horses?
They want more.
Are they wanting
they
to do anything?
They want the horses out of there so there's more room for more cattle. So they'll remove these horses by helicopter roundups where they get a helicopter who they pay millions of dollars to chase wild horses into pens, and then they take them away in trailers to the BLM holding in different areas of the West. One is Palomino Valley. There's different ones. There's one in Rock Springs, Wyoming, where now they have accumulated over 50,000 wild horses, and when they take them there, they put a number on their neck. They geld the stallions, which sterilizes them. They can't have babies anymore. And the mares just stand there. They take the families apart. They're no longer together. The geldings are together. The mares are together. And if the young foals get carted off too, they get separated from their mothers. And then They try to adopt them, but there just are not enough people to adopt all those horses because they do too many at once. There are other ways to do this other than helicopter roundups.
Okay, so this helicopter roundup, is that a federally
funded. Federally funded. That's another way that they take our tax dollars. Our tax dollars pay that helicopter man millions of dollars for a couple days of flying his helicopter to chase wild horses into a pen. They run them for miles and miles over rugged terrain. They bump them with the helicopter feet sometimes. They run them through barbed wire. They run them over rocks till the colts, till their little hooves fall off. They can't even walk when they get into the pen. They can't stand up.
Oh, my God. Totally inhumane. And there's no reason for it. I mean, that's
no.
The purpose for this discussion. If we really – I've been there with you, and you've just told us how many acres there are and just miles and miles of this open land. There's no reason for it. And to sell – to the people and to politicians, they take a picture of a sickly horse and then they put it out there and say, oh, these poor animals are dying in their environment. It's the humane thing to do to, you know, put them down, to round them up. And it's not the truth. It's just simply not the truth. Wow. As you were telling that story, just like what they do them, Terry, that just really, it just really got to me. And, you know, I think, and this is just kind of not really taking it off topic, but I think as we become more conscious, as we become more aware, you know, we realize that these creatures are one with us. You know, they are God-like beings who are attempting to live out their lives. And again, if there was any real reason to force them off of that land, you know, then we could understand. Because I guess the argument on the other side could be, well, these ranchers are helping to feed, you know, the how many millions of Americans, you know, who knows.
Only 3%.
There's only 3% of these farmers.
Yeah. It's only 3% of the beef that America buys today comes from most of the other ranchers. It's these welfare ranchers that use the public lands that their beef is only 3% of the beef consumed by Americans today, which is nothing compared, you know, there are plenty of ranchers that raise cattle on land that they own. We don't need these 3% grazing on the public lands. But they need to be controlled. The BLM needs to stop them permitting them to overuse the range.
Right.
And that's what's not happening.
Right. So we need pushback from the public.
Yeah. And this has been going on for a long time. They've had their way.
Well, yeah, you get the lobbyists up in Washington. I mean, we're finding out just how swampy the swamp is right now, right?
Right.
You know, the boys are taking care of the boys. So
that's exactly it. It's the buddy system.
Mhm. It's the buddy system. And wow, Terry, is there anything else you wanted to share? I'm going to give you the opportunity, of course, to tell people how they can get involved and what they can do and how they can do that. But is there anything else you want to share about these amazing creatures? Any stories you want to share with us?
Well, I would like to say the wild horses are a good ecological green machine. They have a different digestive system than cows. When they poop, their poop reseeds and it also enhances the soil. When they can get to places that cattle don't go, cattle kind of just stay in one place and wallow in the streams, where horses travel 15 to 20 miles a day. They can be used for fire mitigation if they were released. Some of these that are now gelded in and holding and they don't know what to do with them, if they were released to some of these areas where the wildfires fires have been raging, they could be eating a lot of this. They can walk up in the mountains and feed on a lot of this vegetation that is out there causing disastrous fires. And that is a point that even in some other countries, they're using horses to do that.
Okay,
so
they
really are a positive, not a negative.
Yeah. They need to get a train load of them over there to California, right? And
California has quite a few that they've rounded up. You know, there's 10 western states that have wild horses. Yeah. There's 10 western states, and I think Nevada is one of the largest that holds the wild horses. There's more herd management areas of wild horses in Nevada than any other, but they are in 10 western states.
Okay.
And there are other ways to treat them on the range with PZP and in the Sandwash Basin and some other book cliffs and Spring Creek. They use the PZP, that's a birth control dart that a volunteer has to go take a class to learn how to shoot the gun. But then they can come back to the range with a dart that costs $27 for one dart to shoot into the rump of a mare, and that will prevent her from having a baby for a year. It will stop her birth cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't affect anything else. They can still have the baby if they're pregnant at the time, but it's it's a way to manage on the range. But they're not using it as much as they should. They could be.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, Terry, there's so much land out there. I mean, really. I mean, I've been out there with you. I mean, we have to go searching for them. You know, you drive around.
Yeah.
And, oh, there's a band over there, you know. So I just want everyone listening to really have a good image of this. I have pictures up if you go to blogtalkradio.com. In fact, a few of them are on the Facebook page. But if you really want to see some amazing pictures of these beings in their habitat, you go to blogtalkradio.com/miraclezone. And I've shared some pictures, and there's more than enough for everyone. I mean, stop the greed, for crying out loud. I mean, it's just like runs everything anymore. You know, it's not just our wild animals, and you and I have had these personal discussions, but greed is in everything. You know, our pharmaceuticals and our medical business, it's everywhere. And these animals deserve they deserve a right to live. They're amazing. They're just amazing. I can just close my eyes and see myself like almost walking smack into that cult. I never got my shot either, Terry. I totally missed it.
Well, there's plenty of time to get more shots. We can definitely do that.
Yes,
there are other ways to manage on the range. PZP is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do smaller gathers in a more gentle way by a bait and trap, which we did at Sandwash Basin in 2016 with the Sandwash Advocate Team and the BLM working together. Then the Great Escape Mustang Sanctuary, which is affiliated with the Sandwash Basin Advocate Team, took the 43 horses off the range, took them to the sanctuary, and now all of them are adopted in loving homes and people are riding them.
Very nice. So there are alternatives. There are definitely
alternatives. To find a lot of this information out, you can go to the Sandwash Advocate page or the Great Escape Mustang Sanctuary or Wild Horse Education or read Craig Downer's book on the Wild Horse Conspiracy.
Okay. And so in sharing that, why don't you tell us how can we get involved? Joe Blow Citizen, what do we do?
Well, the first thing I would do is a little research. Go to a page that is an advocate page, so you understand what you would want to say to a congressman. And once you understand the whole political pull and the lies and the deceit that is involved, that's what gets you fired up. And when you learn what to say, then you can call your congressman. So if you go to the Sandwash Advocate page or the Great Escape Mustang Sanctuary or wildhorseeducation.org, there's one girl, Laura Lay, that fights for these horses in the government by she's got a couple things passed by being out on the range every day, filming everything that happens in these roundups, and she has the knowledge. And if you go to her page, there are links that will take you to find any information that you need to passionately stand up and speak for these wild horses. And the same with the books, The Wild Horse Conspiracy. Craig Downer explains this in detail on everything that you need to know to fight for these wild horses.
Okay. So tell us again, Laura, what is her name, Laura?
Her name is Laura Lay, L-E-I-G-H, and she is with wildhorseeducation.org.
Wild Horse Education. Okay, because I'm going to stick these notes on the bottom of the show when we're done,
okay,
sharing, so people will have that information handy. And then once they do that research, you are suggesting that they call their congressperson and
mm-hmm.
and tell them how they feel about this, correct?
Yeah. Yes. 80% of the American people do not want to see these horses killed or rounded up off the range. They want to see them managed on the range in a humane way. And I had no idea any of this was going on until 4 years ago when I saw that picture. And that's what's taken me to where I am today, trying to help advocate to keep the horses on the range because they are so beautiful. And they help build America. These horses are native, and they were here long before the white people and the Indians and the Spanish. And they were here, and they should be declared native. And I would like to see Sandwash Basin declared a sanctuary.
Oh, that would be awesome, wouldn't it?
That would really be awesome.
And I'm going to just backtrack. I'm sorry, I'm going to backpack. I'm thinking about being out there with the horse.
You're getting out there. Okay.
You know, there was some recent legislation, so we're just backing up a little bit. I don't want to talk about that just for a minute. I know you were tracking something. All of you advocates were tracking some legislation. Can you just give us a quick update of what that was and where that's at, please?
Yes. For now, they passed the omnibus bill, and the wording in it does protect the wild horses for now. Still will probably spend money. They will not slaughter them in their pens at the moment. The 50,000 we were worried about, they were going to shoot them right in the pens in holding.
Mm-hmm.
For now, they're not going to do that, but they're still not safe. They do a lot of backdoor deals. We don't know exactly how it's going to be handled. It's still kind of up in the air, but for now, they're not going to shoot pens, but we don't know what's going to come down the road later. Because the next budget will have to be passed, and
right,
the other people
right
voting, and we just have to stay on top of it and be involved and try to have the most humane results come out of our contact.
Are those horses, those aren't all from Colorado that are in the pen now,
no,
right? Those are from all the 10
There's,
states?
Yeah. From 10 different states, there's different holding pens. The ones I'm most familiar with are the closest ones, Rock Springs, Wyoming, and Palomino Valley, Nevada. There's other ones.
Terry, do you happen to have, if you don't have this, don't worry about it because we can research it for ourselves. But do you know the 10 states offhand? Because obviously we're very concerned here, Nevada, Wyoming.
Utah. California,
California,
New Mexico, Montana, South Dakota, I'm not sure of the others. I don't know how many I just named, but
okay. I think you did pretty good there. I think you named about eight. I think there's eight, maybe nine you just named.
Probably
so
maybe Idaho.
Idaho, yeah. This is not just a Colorado issue.
Arizona. There's saltwater horses in Arizona. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, Nevada.
So that's 10. Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Nevada, California.
Oregon.
Wyoming.
Oregon is one of them.
Oh,
Oregon
as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of them in Oregon. Mm-hmm. Really beautiful ones. I mean, they're beautiful everywhere.
Mm-hmm. They are amazing. Amazing. And ours are big and fat and healthy.
Yes.
So, and unless there's anything else to see, we have information, and obviously we call our Congress people, our representative, our senators. You can get that information for your particular state once you do some research. Are there any phone numbers or any other information you'd like to share with the public, Terry?
The Great Escape Mustang Sanctuary does have a number, and I don't have that right in front of me. It's best to go online and find that. And the same with the Sandwash Wild Horse Advocate Team. You can Google them on Facebook. Same, any of these would be found on Facebook. They'll lead you to other connections.
And we can donate, right? I mean, we contact
you. Yes, you can donate to either of these, all of these.
Okay, can you volunteer? Are there volunteer opportunities? Or
yes, you can volunteer.
Okay. So, Terry, thank you. Thank you so much. I've only been up there twice. You know, you invited me for your birthday, and you know, it really was more of a gift to me, I think, than for you. And we just had an amazing time with our angel cards, and we met a beautiful woman there, and she's very involved with the horses, and I believe she's adopted some. And it's just an amazing experience to see them in the wild, to see anything in the wild and free to roam. It's just an amazing experience. And, you know, we've even talked about possibly, you know, bringing some kids up from the cities and just letting them see these creatures in the wild.
Oh,
so
I'd
we'll
love to do that.
Wouldn't that be awesome? I would love
I would
do
love
it
to
well.
Do that. Put them all in a tent and trek them around there.
Yes,
be nice to do when the cactus were blooming. There's so many beautiful times. Spring is the nicest time because the flowers are blooming. And it's usually a little bit before the bugs bite, but spring is the nicest time.
Well, if any organizations or anyone out there belonging to an organization, you got youths in the city. In fact, I met a young woman last summer, and she's working with some youth because that was the hardest thing, you know, to get a contact and that they actually allow you to work with their children is a challenge. But if anyone out there is listening to this, we think this would be an amazing opportunity for kids from the inner city to come up and just see all the beautiful nature that's around us. Just see God in its fullness is what I always say. All right, Terry. It has been wonderful. I've enjoyed you as usual. And thank you. I know you have to hurry off to work. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Pamela. And I appreciate the time that you took to present this to your people that listen to your blog. I think it might reach some people that didn't even know about the wild horses, because I only really got involved with this about 4 years ago in 2012 on my first visit. Now, I just think that once you see them out there, you just can't stop. It just takes you further and further into advocating for them. You just have to.
I mean, look at me.
I mean, how could you not? I know.
I'm the New York City, California girl.
That's what's important. People need to see this other side of their life. of the life that's out there in the West.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I mean, even in the East Coast, they have the Assateague Island in North Carolina, off the coast of North Carolina, the wild ponies. I think that's way long ago. I had that storybook of the Assateague ponies.
Mm-hmm.
They have a roundup, but they use the PZP also. So there's a lot to learn, and there's a lot well worth fighting for. Everyone that can get involved in this, that can speak out for them, because they have no voice. Yeah. We are their voice.
We are their voice. And so much. You know, Terry, I always say to my listeners, and I know we need to get you going, but I always say to my listeners, you know, there's so much work to be done. If you don't want to advocate for the horses, then you can advocate for someone else who doesn't have a voice, whether animal, you know, our mentally challenged don't have a voice. There's so much to do. People say, oh, I'm retired. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know what? There's so much work to be done.
Get involved.
So,
get involved.
That's important. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, we sit
find
back
a passion.
And say, oh, awful. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Find a passion. Find your passion and speak.
Absolutely. And speak. Absolutely. And we laughed about that last night. We said, you know, a Scorpion girl, you know, we'll die for our passion. I mean, we're passionate about something. Get out of our way.
I know. When it comes from your heart, it keeps coming. It just doesn't
it
stop.
Sure does.
It fires out there. Sometimes
absolutely.
A little bit abruptly.
Well, Terry, again, thank you. I love you. And to my listeners, please take action. Help us in
helping
these beautiful animals in Colorado. Help us save the wild horses. Love you all. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.